Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day, and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny, and there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Thursday, November 3rd, and we're back for round two of the new format for Stat Nerd Thursday. If you missed it last week, we're now giving you, wait for it, one stat for every single team. Are you a fan of a team? Any team at all? We'll have a stat about that team for you. Get ready. It's exciting. I'm joined, as I always am on Thursdays, by someone who doesn't have to get ready because he stays ready. It's Dalton Del Don. Dalton, how we doing, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? We have a lot of stats to get to, some trades to talk over. Let's get to it. No preamble for me. No crying about my Survivor loss or anything. But let's talk some football, man. How are you doing?
A shame. We will miss your Survivor updates every single week. Before we jump into it, I do want to remind folks that we are going to have another Friday live stream this week, 1 p.m. Pacific. I think I still need to figure out who's going to do it with me, but maybe Scott, maybe Dalton doesn't want to talk to me 3 days in a row, but we'll figure that out. That is for sure. So Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, Yahoo Fantasy YouTube, Yahoo Fantasy the Twitter. We'll be taking your questions. We'll be going through all the biggest, like, latest injury news that breaks on Friday as a little extension mini episode of the podcast. As you mentioned, Dalton, we do have a lot of trades to recap. We hit on a couple with Austin Eckler on the last podcast, but we are going to hit the big ones that we didn't get to when we go team by team here. No Eagles because they're on TNF, so we'll get to them later. So that leaves us with the Buffalo Bills as we are going in order of best to worst. There is a reward for being a good team in the NFL. You get talked about early on this podcast. Buffalo Bills trade for Nyheim Hines. They send Zach Moss and a draft pick to the Colts to get Nyheim Hines. This has been a clear-cut focus for the Bills this year. They have desperately wanted a pass catching back. There was the great JD McKissick wars. They took James Cook early in the NFL draft, and now they've traded for Nyheim Hines at the deadline. And that has been, it's been reflected in Josh Allen's usage. He's thrown to running backs on 21.2% of his passes this year. That is the highest he's ever done. 15.4% in 2021, 13.5% in 2020. So Dalton, how do we feel about Nyheim Hines? He's a good player going to Buffalo right now.
Last year, Singletary was among the leaders in running backs and routes run. Just not a very efficient pass catcher. The guy they won the first two downs, but they've been looking for this pass catching back. As you mentioned, Hines is going to take over that role. James Cook can be dropped in all fantasy leagues. And we'll talk about the Indy situation there. But right after they traded Hines, it sounds like Taylor is dealing with that ankle injury again, or a new one. Either way, opens up wide open for Deion Jackson. Actually, this situation has me the most excited of all the fantasy managers. Actionable, too, because he's out there in many leagues. So go get Deion Jackson. But Bills are absolutely loaded. And if they felt this was the one area of need on offense, they addressed it. My guy Gabe Davis, by the way, was shadowed far more by Jaire Alexander than Diggs last week, but clearly not getting it quite as done as hoped. In the slots too, no one's emerged from the slot either. So yeah, the Bills feel like this is an area of need, and they addressed it.
Yeah, and Hines can split out a little bit. I mean, most of the talk about like running backs lining up at the slot, lining up out wide, like it never really materializes. But Hines at least is a guy that can do that a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if he eats into Isaiah McKenzie a little bit. I mean, Gabe Davis doesn't have the biggest target share anyways. That was never part of like the Gabe Davis formula. So I don't think that really changes much. But yeah, how much does this like negatively impact Devin Singletary, who was kind of owning that passing down work, even if he was not the guy they wanted to do it? Does this take him from like, I think he was pretty much an every week RB2 start to maybe like a borderline RB3 type guy?
Gabe Davis had a million targets at the end of week 17 or 18 last year and in the playoffs. And after the bye, when Emmanuel Sanders was out, he had a higher first down target share than Diggs over like the final 10 weeks last year. So my thesis was targets were going to be there. I was wrong about maybe the player, and you were right, so I will concede that. But man, I just did not see the profile of being so boom or bust. I know it looks obvious now, but I just thought more targets would be there in an offense that passes the ball more than any other. But it simply has not been there. So yeah, I mean, even though he's had some big fantasy games, I'm really discouraged courage in the usage with Davis there. What was the question? Yeah, this definitely hurts. Singletary is going to come off the field on third down. So, I mean, more so. I mean, they've been trying to do this. So it definitely a ding to his fantasy value. But he still remains whatever, you know, around the RB 20 to 25 range. I mean, he's going to score touchdowns in that Bills offense. But it limits his upside because of the lack of targets.
Mike Evans, wide receiver 11. In fantasy points right now, Dalton, Yahoo, you know, God's game, Yahoo standard, obviously. Gabe Davis, 31. How do you feel?
I don't feel great. And that crumbling Tampa Bay defense is going to lead to a ton of pass attempts too. I mean, if Brady, you know, maybe he'll be out of here, but if he does last this whole season, and Evans is definitely the favorite to win our bet for sure.
I mean, whatever. They're going to go out and drop like a absolute hammer, you know, and Gabe Davis will do that and he'll be back up to like 13. That's just how wide receivers go. Let's move on to the next team here. We got another trade. It's a good thing that good teams are out there making those trades. The Minnesota Vikings, they get TJ Hockenson in a fourth and a conditional 2022 fourth for a second round pick and a third round pick that goes back to the Lions. The third round pick is in 2024 as well. We talked about this trade a little bit just from like the interdivisional part of it with Austin Eckler on yesterday's podcast. But Dalton, so far this year, TJ Hockenson has a 17.9% target share, 78% routes per dropback, 20.5% targets per route run. Meanwhile, Irv Smith, who I don't like, I mean, fantasy analysts try to get themselves gassed up about Irv Smith all the time. It just doesn't do it for me. But he's on IR now, 13.4% target share for him this year, 58% routes per dropback, pretty similar 20.1% targets per route run. So my question to you, Dalton, is does this boost TJ Hockenson's fantasy value? Does it keep it the same? And maybe more importantly, does this eat into everybody else on that offense that's still there?
Yeah, I'd say it keeps it about the same with Hockenson. It's not great news for Jefferson or Thielen, but not the end of the world. I made two longer shot bets before the season to win the Super Bowl. It was the Eagles and the Vikings. The Vikings record, I got to tell you, it does not. Kirk Cousins is getting the lowest YPA, 6.6, since he became a full-time starter. Their point differential is the same as the 4-4 Niners. It's just not that impressive. I would get out of that bet if I could sell it on the open market. But the Hockenson's a nice move. One other random thought I have on this is I have a pet peeve of the media just treating divisional trades differently when in fact I think the actual opposite is true. Trades are essentially two teams are colluding together against the rest of the league. And I would want teams in my own division, their timeline to be the opposite of mine. Therefore, I would rather a team who's already better than me go ahead and get better now, but get worse in the future, trade your picks to the timeline when my team's going to be better. Put differently, the teams that should be the most upset when two divisional teams trade are the other two teams in that division. Because that's the thing here. So it's very odd to me. I get their PR reasons from a football standpoint or in baseball, this is true, basketball. Absolutely should be targeting your division, not how the opposite is it's treated like the opposite. Weird to me.
Yeah, and the Vikings are a weird team because they're great, right? Their record's great. They're going to moonwalk to winning the NFC North at this point this year with how especially with how Green Bay looks. But yeah. You know, this is a team that when Kevin O'Connell and the GM Adofa Mensah took it over, like, it seemed as if it could be like a rebuilding operation, but then they bring, you know, back Kirk Cousins and they really don't go that direction at all. And this is clearly a win now move, you know, getting TJ Hockenson, TJ Hockenson hasn't quite lived up to the draft pedigree that he was taken with. He was a 6th overall pick for Detroit a few years ago. He certainly hadn't been that guy, but he's like a solid NFL tight end and is a bit more of a two-way guy than most other tight ends. So, you know, I think he's certainly a better player than Irv Smith. So yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to ask you more about this later with Deontay Johnson, but 538 just came out with some stuff. I know, I mean, especially when I ask you perception, but their metrics of getting open and whatnot. And they, I guess it graded Hockenson as a guy that was getting brought down by his quarterback position and he's getting open like crazy, but I don't know how much I trust that the 538, some of their stats have just been so off. They had like the Warriors is 10% chance to win the finals when they were in the finals or so. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that new stat that came out this week?
Yeah, I think they came out with like a dashboard. I haven't looked at it as we're recording this. I was going to check it out a little bit later, but you know, I do think Brian Burke is the one who in ESPN and him and Seth Walder were the two that work on it. They're both really sharp guys. I think obviously they do a lot of great work. Brian had actually even like asked her thoughts on it at one point too. For me over the offseason, was like, dude, Kendrick Bourne, like this metric loves him. Do you have any Kendrick Bourne like RP stuff? I was like, nah, I don't. I haven't looked at Kendrick Bourne, you know, unfortunately, but you know, I'm too busy fighting off the Kyle Pitts bros, the chart Kyle Pitts bros. They're not as loud during the season as they were in the offseason, I'll tell you that. But anyways, I think one thing that's interesting about them, and this does like reflect with Deontay Johnson that we can talk about a little bit later, is like, I know they weigh like the getting open versus man coverage versus getting open against zone coverage a little higher, which I've also rated, like, you know, typically when guys are big man beaters, I think that's more important than zone. But then again, at the same time, teams play more zone coverage right now than ever before. So that's a whole other thing. But I'm never going to sit here and be like, oh, you know, only listen to me or like reception perception when it comes to telling you who's getting open. I'm not going to be that guy. You don't have to do that. But I'm just like, I think it's really cool that they've come out with this, that PFF has come out with like route win data, stuff like that, because this is stuff I've been thinking about for like the last decade. This has like been the obsession of my life for the last decade, and I just think it's cool now that other, you know, big mainstream sites are putting this stuff out, because I think it's the most important part about wide receiver data for sure. And it's cool that they're doing it about tight ends as well. Maybe that'll get the chart tight end people off my back.
Yeah, totally. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw that at you unprompted, but I really wanted your opinion, you know, as much as anyone's.
No, for sure. I mean, and look, talk about confirming priors. You know, Seth Walder, who I mentioned, you know, works for ESPN Analytics. He just tweeted something out to like sort of promote the debut of the dashboard, like just how much better receiver play was for Russell Wilson in Seattle versus Denver. And I was like, yeah, buddy, it is. And I've been saying that, you know, so if we're on the same page here, I know we're on the same page about a few other players. That's good. And, you know, there's going to be some differences along the way, but a lot of it does track with like guys that get open in reception perception, stuff like that. So
Deontay Johnson has a lower passer rating this year than if you threw an incomplete pass. I believe I read that correctly.
We'll get to it.
It's you would like the way this new system grades him. It would line up more to you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I know. Yeah. I'm familiar with Deontay Johnson in that in that particular system, but we'll get to Deontay Johnson, because I mean, God, I could go 30 minutes on the Steelers offense, but we'll try to make me not. All right. So basically, though, on the Hockenson thing, just good news. I think it's good news for his fantasy outlook, because he's going to be in an offense, I guess, that's going to score more touchdowns than the Lions, most likely.
Yeah, totally fair. And like I said, hopefully it helps Cousins, who's been remarkably inefficient in this new coaching staff. Man, I expected far more from him, really. I know they're winning games, though.
Kirk Cousins is still Kirk Cousins. That's the long and short of it. Totally. All right, let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys here. And of course, it's got to be a Pollard-Zeke debate. We had Austin Eckler kind of weigh in on his thoughts and how those two guys really complement each other. I thought he had a good breakdown of that. But I do want to just bring up a few more stats here. Rushing success rate so far this year, Tony Pollard, 43%. That's 11th best among running backs with 50 plus carries. Zeke, not terrible, 39%. Runs of 10 plus yards, though, obviously that goes to Tony Pollard, 16%. Zeke, 7.3%. And then this one's big. I saw Mina Kimes put this out. Tony Pollard, since 2021, has rushed for 5.6 yards per carry between the tackles. That's the second most among all backs. Zeke, again, not terrible, ranks 38th. So, Dalton, are we just at a point where I want to know what you want to do with Tony Pollard in fantasy, because I clearly want to see more of Tony Pollard on the field, but we know that Jerry's got intense loyalty to Zeke. It's got to be super frustrating to be Mike McCarthy and like see a back have that kind of performance and then be like, well, can't do anything about it because the owner says so.
Yeah, Zeke is a better pass protector, it must be noted. But man, Pollard had three rushing touchdowns on 14 carries. Zeke's never had a three rushing touchdown game in his career. He's just so explosive. I mean, it was a nice matchup for him at home. But putting up the fantasy points, it's been, you know, it's rare when everyone's like waiting for the opportunity and the guy steps in and finishes as a top three guy as expected. Yeah. But I'd like to have seen even more touches out of him. But I it's going to be more of the same with Zeke coming back. If he's healthy enough to get out there, he's very, very tough. I mean, he almost even suited up this game. Props to him for rarely missing games. I mean, credit for a guy. I mean, he could just be sitting this out in his contract with a viable backup. Also credit for him, too, letting Pollard play, too, and not forcing himself on the field there, too. So that said, it's just going to be frustrating for fantasy managers and more of a split. But yeah, if Zeke went down, you'd be looking at the proverbial league winner. Clearly, Pollard's capable of being a top three type fantasy back moving forward, if given the opportunity.
I do think that we could see maybe the 60-40 type split go more Pollard 60, Zeke 40. I'm not going to rule that out. I'm not even going to rule that it's like 50-50, because these two guys just bring different stuff to the table, and I think it's really good for the Dallas offense to have a guy like, you know, I've been one of the people that's like, is Tony Pollard really going to be like a between the tackles back? But he was ripping those plays, the big plays between the tackles, like, and those are turned into chunk plays, which, you know, this offense still doesn't have like a ton of. They're a good passing offense, but they don't have a ton of like big plays through the offense. So
it won't be week 10 until Dak plays a road game.
True.
Dak's yet to play a game on the road too, and he's had big splits in his career, so that'll be interesting to see that team. But that team is super dangerous, man. They're very, very good. The Cowboys are legit. I mean, they're the fifth in net EPA per play this season, and they've missed Dak for a big portion of that.
100%. Let's stay in that division. Another team that, I mean, hey, the Giants are somehow good, man. But I think we've got two wide receivers here that have emerged over the last 3 weeks as like guys that we can actually count on from this position. Like, we're not rotating Richie James, like Marcus Johnson and, you know, David Sills anymore at this point of the season. Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson over the last 3 weeks have an identical 17.6% target share. Slayton, 33.7% share of the air yards. Wandale Robinson, 12%. I think that kind of perfectly encapsulates the way these two guys play the wide receiver position.
Yeah, they missed Evan Neal last week, and facing a Seattle defense that's just really playing far better last week. Jones, a disappointment in fantasy leagues. But yeah, hopefully Slayton and Robinson emerge as the main targeted guys moving forward, obviously with Tony gone, injuries at tight end. So, but they were talking kind of deeper fantasy leagues here. Wandell was actually a disappointment last week. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people had him in their DFS lineups, weren't super pumped with the results. But I still like him moving forward.
Yeah, both these guys, I feel like, are just good bets moving forward. You know, if you need like wide receiver five type guys on your bench, stuff like that. If you play in multiple start wide receiver leagues, these guys are legit options, because I also think they're pretty good. Like, Slayton's not probably like a three, maybe a wide receiver four on a team's depth chart, but a lot better than the goofballs they were running at before. And Robinson, I think, has, you know, legit open field ability, even if I think he's kind of a limited player in his own right. You mentioned Kadarius Toney. I don't think I've gotten your Kadarius Toney take yet, so I've got to get it here. This stat comes from Reception Perception. Kadarius Toney broke 2+ tackles on 19.2% of his in-space attempts in the games I charted last year. The only two dudes that were higher in terms of breaking multiple tackles when they're out in space, the 49ers bros. Of course, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. So, Kadarius Toney, not just like great open field ability, he has legit rare like movement skills in the open field. So Dalton, where are you at with Toney as like a upside bro, man? You're the swing for the ceilings guy.
My Toney take is, while I do acknowledge that the Giants drafted Robinson and they clearly didn't love Toney, I think he didn't play because he was injured. I think they would have at least seen what they had in him and got him out there. I think it was just this hamstring injury that neither he or the team could agree on how exactly to do it. But obviously there's some weird issues with him off the field, so I don't know what to make of it. But if Andy Reid plays him in that offense, he'll have some spike weeks for sure. I mean, the targets per route run, the yards per route run, all the nerd stats last year, he was like a top three receiver went on the field. Yes, it was a small sample, but now in an Andy Reid offense with Kansas City, they don't have any dominant receiver demanding targets outside of Kelsey. So obviously the upside's there at this point of the year, and with how barren the waiver wire's been, like, I have no problem with someone aggressively using the rest of their fab on Tony's upside. But I mean, you're sitting him for now and kind of a wait and see approach. You're not going to play him right away, but obviously the upside's there down the stretch. But I mean, between injuries and going in a new system here and the way that Mahomes spreads it around, the reality is, you know, he'll probably be somewhere between wide receiver 35 or something, you know, a wide receiver 3 or something like that when he's on the field.
I think that's probably the best way to look at it. And like, he could be a guy that probably, I still think he makes more of a difference for the real life Chiefs than he does for fantasy managers, for sure. And, you know, I think he just basically ends up taking Mecole Hardman's like slot receiver job next year. You know, Juju's also a slot receiver. At least he should be more of a slot, but he's only on a 1-year deal. I think Toney is still a move for the future, and maybe a guy that we see make big plays in the playoffs, but that's probably like the actual NFL playoffs, not your fantasy playoffs. And that might be it for 2023. I think that's all pretty possible. I still question whether he can ever be like a volume receiver type, although he certainly has like Deebo Samuel potential. And this is the right offense to utilize a player like that. That's 100% for sure. Tennessee Titans. We're talking about them in the pre-show little green room here. The Titans, bro, do not rank higher than 15th in any offensive category. They rank 15th as a rushing offense in DVOA, and they're the 10th ranked defense in DVOA, first against the run. I just find it hilarious that the Titans, and they're good. Like, they're going to win the AFC South again. They're a pretty good team. Everybody doubts them all the time coming to this year. I don't even know, like, if they really thought they were going to be that great of a team this year, but they always compete, man. They're the funniest team in the NFL to me, that nobody really respects the Titans, but they always win games. And, like, Mike Vrabel clearly has a great culture there, and, like, that stuff matters a lot. But it's just funny that we have not, like, other than Derrick Henry, we have nothing here from a fantasy perspective. People even got themselves gassed about Malik Willis, and nothing was there.
I was one of them, ranked him and Ellinger too high last week. Malik Willis, I believe, attempted one pass in the second half. I know Houston's run defense is bad, but I mean, just getting annihilated by Henry and Hilliard when they knew it was coming. I mean, that was really bad. I believe the Titans are the number two seed in the AFC right now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but my wife actually pointed out to me earlier today, and that seems crazy, man. The Titans, one thing, I don't have the stats directly in front of me, but they have shut down running backs since week one. It got more than 12 half PPR points. So we're talking Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor again, Damian Pierce last week. So not that the Chiefs are going to run much, but the receivers are going to be active here. The Titans, one area they really succeed on defense is really shutting down opposing backs. Something to note. But yeah, that is Tannehill going to return? We got a primetime one here Sunday night. I had the Chiefs locked and loaded for my survivor pick this week. Had the Cowboys ready last week, and had the Chiefs ready for this week coming on. Andy Reid coming off a bye. I expect a boat race Sunday night.
Yeah, Titans first in rush defense DVOA. They get the Chiefs this week. No running back really we care about there. They get the Broncos. Oh boy, we'll talk about that backfield a little bit later. Packers, that's troubling. Week 12, Joe Mixon, Cincinnati Bengals. It'll be another disappointing Joe Mixon game coming out of that one. Let's move on here. Baltimore Ravens. This one comes in from Jacob Gibbs. Highest off-target rate on deep attempts. 15 plus air yards, 40% off target rate for Lamar Jackson here. That leads all these quarterbacks here. Trevor Lawrence, 37%. Ooh, Trevor Lawrence. Matthew Stafford, 35%. Yeah, that shows up. So the off target percentage for Lamar Jackson here, very high.
And it just sucks that Bateman's now sidelined for the foreseeable future. I mean, who knows if he returns this year. So grab Isaiah Likely if you can with the banged up Andrews. But yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson looked like a humongous contract upcoming after the first 2 weeks, and now there's some struggles in that offense.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people when Hollywood Brown was traded from the team, you know, cite the his deep target or lack of catches on deep targets or whatever. I'm like, did you watch that film of Hollywood Brown? And like, you know, I mean, I know Brown drops passes, he dropped a couple, remember that Lions game last year when he just crushed people in daily fantasy? Yeah.
I had him in this 6 million survivor, the game in which Justin Tucker kicked the NFL record field goal off the bar. Yeah, I remember it vaguely. Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Dalton gets booted from his survivor league, and I think he's mentioned it more times on this show than any other. You can keep it coming. I'm not trying to stop you, but
was an epic game. Yeah, they had to get a 4th and 17 before that longest kick ever. That was crazy. Yeah, bad drop that game. Yes.
Yeah, bad drops in that game, and those certainly happened for Marquise Brown. But man, on the other end of it, I love Lamar, dude, and I've said this about Lamar Jackson when talking about when talking about Bateman, is that everybody, and especially talking about Marquise Brown, I love Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson is a Twitter pet favorite, and you can't really go on Twitter and criticize Lamar Jackson, because then every big media analyst that loves Lamar is going to tell you you're an idiot or whatever, and it's always Hollywood Brown's fault, it's always Rashad Bateman's fault. But yeah, Lamar just has holes in his game. He's great player, and he should get his contract extension yesterday, actually probably 30 yesterdays ago, sure. 50 yesterdays ago, but he's got holes in his game, and the vertical passing is certainly a big part of it. So I do think Isaiah Likely, even if Mark Andrews gets back, could be a big part of this passing game, because that's just the area where Lamar Jackson wins.
Yeah, like I said, grab him, and tight ends are so bad. Just to note, what about Trevor Lawrence second on this list? Interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk about him when we get to the Jaguars section, because they did make a trade, although it doesn't matter for this year. But we'll talk about Trevor Lawrence there. Miami Dolphins. the interconnective tissues between the Dolphins and the 49ers continue. They trade for Jeff Wilson for a fifth rounder, do the Miami Dolphins. They also make a huge swing here for Bradley Chubb. They give back a 2025 fifth rounder for Chase Edmonds, a first round pick, and a 2024 fourth round pick. This feels like the biggest like Rams inspired move, this trade for Bradley Chubb in the middle of the year. Obviously you can make the comparisons to Denver and Von Miller last year, but you know, for fantasy, what do you think about the Jeff Wilson trade here for the Miami Dolphins? Because so far the Dolphins are third in passing DVOA this year. They're 19th in rushing DVOA, which I think is kind of surprising.
Yeah, well, McDaniel joining there. Yeah, with that, the one criticism I've seen about Chubb there is the lack of contract extension as well. So he's going to have some leverage during the offseason.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Jeff Wilson definitely should be grabbed in deeper fantasy leagues as the clear backup to one of the most injury-prone backs over the last decade in Raheem Mostert. Love Mostert. Hope he can stay healthy. But a lot of upside in this offense. I mean, Tua leads the NFL with 9.0 YPA this year. I mean, in this offense, sure, Jeff Wilson knows the McDaniel system. So he's one of the more valuable fantasy backups now.
Do you think it's just a straight backup, or do you think he could be like a 50-50, like he could make this thing a committee a little bit?
Yeah, that's possible too. And then that'd just be a disaster for people relying on Mostert. But yeah, I'm not right. Picking up Wilson and trying to use him. And I mean, let's desperate flex or something. No. But I let a lot of buys this week. That's fair. But right away, he's more of a stash for me.
Yeah, I think so too. But I do think I would stash. Like I view him as more than just a deep league stash. I think like legit,
yeah.
Even 12
yes.
teamers,
every,
you know, for
every
sure.
League. He's, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, 100%. Okay, cool. And yeah, you brought to the table another Jacob Gibbs stat. We talked about it with the other side with Lamar there. Tua has the lowest off-target percentage on deep attempts. Again, that's 15-plus air yards. It's nice when you're throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle there. That makes your life a little bit easier.
Yeah, two last week alone were underthrown to Hill. It might have cost him touchdowns. I mean, they were complete, though. But yes, Tua is very, whether the percentages are extremely right or not, but he's obviously improved his deep ball passing and benefiting so, so greatly from Tyreek Hill. It just looks unstoppable out there. I feel like a fool not ranking him higher before the season, worrying about the quarterback play. Tyreek Hill is a beast, man. He gets
so
open
good,
at
yeah.
will. It's on turf like that. That was just unfair against the Lions secondary last week.
Yeah.
That guy is due for so many more touchdowns, though. I mean, it's crazy how Waddle keeps getting... Waddle almost had three. They didn't even challenge one. He easily scored a third touchdown, and they didn't bother challenging because it was going to be first and goal. But that offense has been awesome, man. McDaniel, year one, and like I said, 2-9.0 YPA. That's the real deal.
Yeah, Michael Florio, not Mike Florio of PFT, but Mike Florio of the NFL Network, put out a pretty insane stat. Tyreek Hill leads the NFL in yards on passes of 10-plus air yards at 691. Jalen Waddle is second at 529. No other receiver has more than 500. So those two are just so legit. It's amazing. All right, next one here. We'll stay in the same division. New York Jets. This one comes in from Aaron Schatz. You sent it in. If you switch and look at the first 3 weeks instead of the last 3 weeks, the Jets defense in the first 3 weeks was 27th in DVOA. A lot of DVOA pop on this pod. In weeks 4 through 8, they rank third. Obviously, there's a quarterback difference in there, but I don't know if that really matters here.
Just something to note for your opponents this week. You know, the Bills, obviously, you're not sitting them in fantasy leagues, but this defense is coming on strong. A couple of other things to note about the Jets, just the Denzel Mims stepped in for Elijah Moore with Corey Davis out last week. It's probably going to be a committee in the backfield with James Robinson getting more comfortable in New York. And Zach Wilson, Jets fans are just, they've had it, man. His like YPA and his CPOE was pretty good last week, but the interceptions were just like beyond disgusting. I found myself at such a low bar. I was like defending him in my column, but yeah, I mean, it's not good. It's bad. Yeah, no,
it's really bad. That game against the Patriots was terrible. They need a stat for like distance from where the ball was snapped to where the ball was thrown, because I feel like Zach Wilson would lead the NFL in that. Like, you remember how Baker Mayfield, every time he would get pressured with the Cleveland Browns, he'd boot right. Zach Wilson does that, but he boots like so much farther back. It's like you are making
right.
your life
right.
harder for you. And on all of the receivers as well. I mean, you know, Garrett Wilson is so good. Garrett Wilson's like always open. You know, obviously the Elijah Moore thing is really, really frustrating, but Garrett Wilson had a big game against the Patriots, but man, like he should be And he should be an every week starter. He should be doing what like Chris Olave is doing in New Orleans, because I mean both those guys are so good. But dude, it is a really frustrating offense, and I'm not sure how it gets better.
You know, I'm just thinking about, we're talking about the Jets defense. They had a pick six against Mac Jones that was taken away from a kind of a bogus roughing the passer that was way after that, did not affect the interception at all. What was it? I wrote that it was the most game changing penalty of the season, as far as I could tell, because I mean, it just completely changed the game. It was a 14 point swing, and the Jets would have gone up by 10, I think, at the point. Their defense is playing far better. It's just something to note for, you know, opponents and fantasy matchups.
100%. And this, it sort of comes into like the debate of, I think a lot of fantasy people want like to see Joe Flacco again, although the team is pretty adamant that Zach Wilson's going to start the rest of the season. And I think he should. Like, what's the point of putting
Mike
Joe
White
Flacco
is number
there?
Two now, right?
Yeah. But it's just funny that like during the 3-game stretch that we saw just basically, it's called not Zach Wilson. We saw not Zach Wilson. The defense was not as good. That's why the record isn't. What, like, it's, they were 1-2 and they only won that one game because the Browns just absolutely pooped their pants. So then Zach Wilson gets in there and the defense better. I don't, you know, there are Jets fans out there that were sword and shield for Zach Wilson, I think, before this game against the Patriots, but you know, maybe they've sort of given it up. Probably not, but interesting. They're a strange team right now that I want to follow the rest of the way. And yeah, it is really unfortunate that Denzel, I've been a big Elijah Moore fan for a long time, but like I like Denzel Mims too. I was interested to see what he could do last year, but you know, they like put him in the hole, you know, put him in solitary confinement. They finally bring him out, but it's only to put Elijah Moore in the hole. It's so disappointing there for that team. Corey Davis, you know, could potentially be back this week as well. That just completely muddies the waters. All right. Seattle Seahawks, another Aaron Schatz stat. More DVOA pop, baby. Weeks 1-5, the Seahawks defense was 30th in defensive DVOA. These last 3 weeks, they're first, Dalton. Weeks 6-8, they're first in defensive DVOA.
Yeah, much improved. Like I said, they've played really well against the Giants last week. Got some young guys even on their offensive line. Like I said last week, we all owe Pete Carroll an apology. Got the offense and defense playing well, way better than expectations, Seattle. So, yeah, it's their defense. Another one to note is your fantasy matchups moving forward. A defense that was once, in the beginning of the year, considered a plus matchup is suddenly maybe a tougher one.
Yeah, for sure. And their defense is kind of coming together, and it's a lot of young guys over there, too. Like, their cornerbacks are rookies this year, especially Tariq Woolen has really emerged as a guy that can, you know, get it done against number one receivers. And, you know, Pete Carroll kind of having the last laugh here about his defense changing over. Geno Smith is the starting quarterback. So, yeah, man, I definitely think we need to adjust expectations for the Seahawks defense, even if they're not going to be first the rest of the way. Like, if they're just, you know, 15th, 17th best defense in the NFL, something like that, they're not just going to be a get everybody in the pool type of game like the Lions are, right? Like, everybody goes against the Lions, you start every single one of them. But that might not be that way for the Seattle Seahawks much longer.
Yep, makes sense. I was looking forward to a Seahawks decline without Russell Wilson, but nope, there's nothing. Here they are, but they're leading the division. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, and like, who's gonna knock them off in that division? I don't know any other good teams in the NFC West, Dalton.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about them after the break.
Yes, we are gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we will hit on the rest of the stats for Week 9. All right, I'm grouping these next two teams together because they play each other this week, the LA Chargers and the Atlanta Falcons. Cordero Patterson had his practice window open to, come back and practice. He can come back and play this week, which is good because I was kind of sweating the fact that I was like, man, I told Rain Wilson on the podcast yesterday not to play Tyler Algier because I thought Patterson might be back this week. I'm like, he needs to go ahead and be back there because this is a great matchup for Patterson if he comes back. We know the Falcons have been a good rushing offense this year. They rank 10th in rushing success rate. And the Chargers, meanwhile, allow the league's highest, again, 5.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, they're getting absolutely killed on the ground. So that would be big news if CPAT is back. Although first game back, I would imagine it'd be somewhat of a timeshare, but definitely something to note. And then on the other side, I'm very curious. Keenan Allen's health. He remained out of practice. Mike Williams is obviously out. So Gerald Everett and Josh Palmer, if he can get healthy, I moved way up my rankings this week. An indoors matchup with a high total. And your guy Eckler has, 27 targets over his previous two games? Something crazy. So, I mean, yeah, that's the big note here is the health of Keenan Allen with Mike Williams sidelined.
Yeah, seriously, like, we got to get got to get Keenan out there, because like this is a huge game potentially. These Falcons cornerbacks beyond AJ Terrell, who's been banged up, like they are terrible. They've been giving up big games to like everybody that plays them pretty much. DJ Moore got going against some Terrace. Hey, they got Terrace Marshall going, man. Like that's when you know you're down bad at the cornerback position. So yeah, this could be a big game for Palmer. This could be a big game for Allen if he plays. Next one up here, we've got the Bengals. Joe Mixon tied for the lead in goal line carries, 15% target share, just 5.4% of his carries have gone for 10 plus yards. Dalton, Joe Mixon, man, like all the usage is there, but my God, the results have been terrible.
Yeah, it's possible in this game script he blows up this week with no Chase. But yeah, it has not, the juice hasn't been there. Obviously, the opportunities have been there. And you get more opportunities when you fail, too. So it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing here. But yeah, it's definitely not what fantasy managers expected. The targets and the catches are really encouraging to see for sure. And you think he's due for some touchdown regression. Again, it helps without Chase, too. So I think he'll be fine moving forward. But yeah, I don't know. Is he playing through an injury or the offensive line hasn't quite gelled, but certainly the big plays just have not been there.
Yeah, you know, we talked so much in the preseason about Scott's younger running back article, and Joe Mixon's 26. He'll turn 27. He'll turn 27 next year. So he's certainly not like in the 27, 28 danger zone.
But an older one, right? He came in the league young.
Yes. Yeah, he came into league in 2017, where all these other, these other guys, that same class, they're kind of starting to get there as well. So, yeah, definitely something to keep in mind, these guys who get these big workloads. And, Mixon has been it's weird that they've taken, now they're giving these catches and the targets and stuff like that to Mixon. Would really, like, if they had been doing that maybe the last 2 years or so, those are the lighter carries, or the lighter touches, right? Because you're getting hit by cornerbacks, you're getting hit out in space, you're not just slamming into the line so much. I feel like that could be a way to mitigate wear and tear, but they certainly have not done that in Cincinnati. One guy who's definitely not going to be having any wear and tear mitigated is Ramondre Stevenson. That guy's been getting a ton of work for the New England Patriots, our next team here. Stevenson, the last 2 weeks, 56% of the team rush attempts, 35.6% targets per route run, 27% target share. Dalton, that is elite, elite running back stuff.
Yeah, he had a really nice one-handed catch. He has emerged in that passing down role that many had hoped for. Although Damien Harris is running routes too, but Stevenson's the one earning the targets. Yeah, he looks great. I mean, he looks like one of the five best real-life running backs, and in a system that wants to run the ball and hide its quarterback. And now, as near touchdown favorites at home against the Colts team, who may be missing Jonathan Taylor, it's a nice game script for him to get a ton of touches this week too. So, you are super pumped if you drafted Stevenson on your fantasy team.
Yeah, he's probably like a top 13, top 12 back rest of season. I feel like he's certainly there at this point. San Francisco 49ers, next team up. Dalton, take it away.
Oh, man, are you setting the timer? You got to love to see CMC doing the touchdown hat trick right away. I mean, the first time he's even practiced with the team. One beat writer noted it was the first time CMC's won Offensive Player of the Week, which is remarkable to me.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so the net EPA, which I said earlier, the top three teams in football are the Eagles, Bills, and Chiefs. So that stat seems to check out there. Number four, our San Francisco 49ers. Love to see it. Entered healthy, actually, in the bye, and I'll be watching their next game, Sunday Night Football, against the Chargers. Just because I'm a crazy person, I got my guy Lance behind me, still the artwork up. I personally wanted Justin Fields when we traded up for the number three, so I'm a little bit uneasy here watching that young man develop into something that could be onto something there, Fields. So that's where we sit in the 49ers. Certainly happy where we are. But the quarterback position remains, a big question mark. How about 8-0 against the Rams, but obviously losing one game? Who cares about the NFC championships? It's all about the regular season. But yeah, nice performance going into
the bye. That's where the splits come from. Yeah. that's where the splits really matter, is in the regular season for sure. Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought up the net EPA stat, because it feels like a team that's really good right now. And Dalton, what are they going to do if they go to the Super Bowl with Jimmy? Like, do you still just send him on his way to go be the Washington Commander starter next year?
It really would be weird if they won the Super Bowl. I mean, what would you? Yeah, I don't know what they would do with the quarterback position, but it's a great problem to have. I hope we have that man McCaffrey going out there looking so good without Debo. But there's a lot to be excited about. But this team has a knack for suffering injuries and not putting away leads.
That is definitely true. Although, like, there's a scenario too where Trey Lance starting next season for them, and you know Shanahan took so much crap about the rushing, you know, with Trey Lance, like the design runs, stuff like that, and he was clearly pissed about, you know, reporters even daring to question him on this. But then I gotta have to run Trey Lance next year if it's McCaffrey, Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, all there, man. Like, that's just wide open lanes. What's like, yeah, you can have him scramble when he gets out of trouble. You don't need to be doing any of that design rushes stuff. And I kind of feel like the CMC trade was made with a little bit of like Trey Lance in mind, that like, okay, let's just like fortify this thing and go forward.
It's funny that happened against the Rams right away, because that's the team they were competing the most against, the Stafford. Stafford even recently admitted he thought he was going to the 49ers. So the Rams beat him out there, and the Niners, I think they didn't care how many draft picks. They just wanted to win this trade. And at least for 1 week, it looked right. But who knows if he can stay healthy. But yes, and next season for sure, man. If McCaffrey can remain in his prime for another year or two with Lance and Debo and Kittle and Ayuk, yeah, on paper with that offensive line and Shanahan drawing up the plays, it certainly looks like there's some nice potential.
Yeah, I'll be drafting Trey Lance again next year. That is for sure.
Have you capitulated on your McCaffrey, it's a lateral move for his fantasy value, changing teams?
I mean, he was like the running back two before going. He's like the running back two now. I don't know. What does that capitulate for that? I didn't say it was a negative.
I just can't see him scoring 3 touchdowns on the Panthers offense. And it's just 1 week without Debo. I'm just asking. I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm just asking.
I'm open to it. If he scores 3 touchdowns every single week, yeah.
I know. It's a convenient week for me to ask you on. Okay, all right.
Yes, fair. It is. We'll revisit this after you guys lose to the Chargers when you're there, okay? And you're right in front of your face, Dalton. No, that's probably not going to happen.
Two teams that want to cover, spread, or carry a lead, man. That'll just be who wants to give it up, you know, least at the end there. But fair enough, Harmon. I know that McCaffrey is absolutely one injury away from that looking like a disastrous trade.
Hey, don't even say that, man. My one dynasty team is like, it's all it was always like a hero RB type of situation with CMC. This dynasty team, I've started like the dustiest of RB2s of all time on this team, but now I've got like Marquise Brown hurt, Mike Williams hurt, and I'm like, geez, I need 40 points from CMC like literally every single week, man. It's like him and Josh Allen, the only things that are working there.
One final note about the Niners. One more. I will say this. Why are you trading Jeff Wilson? Well, do you realize Elijah Mitchell's a pretty good backup? He's coming back in a couple weeks too, man. That's it. Yeah, that's he's.
Would you stash it? Like, would you keep him on rosters for sure with Elijah Mitchell?
Oh, for sure, 100%. Yeah. With McCaffrey's injury history and his upside in that system, yeah. And the Niners have. I haven't looked recently, but I remember they're just most favorable fantasy playoff schedule too. So yes, I would.
Amazing, and we made it just under 5 minutes there. All right, Washington Commanders. News today that Dan Snyder might be exploring selling part of the franchise. So that's nothing else matters for Washington fans. Like, all that matters is they get Dan Snyder the hell up out of there. But this matters for Terry McLaurin bros like myself. Terry McLaurin, target share with Carson Wentz this season, 5.9%. Target share with Taylor Heinicke this season, 25%. ODU's finest is here to save Terry McLaurin. Dalton, rest of season, Terry McLaurin. If let's just say Taylor Heinicke under center the rest of the season, which I think is totally possible at this point, they keep winning, you know, whatever. They're not tied to Carson Wentz long term. Is Terry McLaurin a top 15 receiver? Is he a top 12 receiver?
I have him 15th for this week. Maybe the return of Dotson eventually changes that. But yes, that's a very healthy target rate. We all know how good of a real life player he is. So right around there makes sense to me. Top 12 to 15-ish fantasy receiver moving forward, given the quarterback switch, because this dates back to last year. I know it's not just a couple game sample here. This dates back to last season too. So the connection is real.
And
what a catch,
God.
Too, that game winner last week, man. That was sick. Did you see that angle where he juked that guy and then made that game? I mean, it's a game-winning catch. It was awesome.
Yeah, Stephon Gilmore's like a good cornerback too. And he's like from Indianapolis. He's out there saying like, this is my MF
my house,
in city.
Yeah,
like,
sick, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Dude, Terry McLaurin. It honestly I get warm fuzzies thinking about Terry McLaurin and Taylor Heinicke, bro, because they just like they needed somebody to like Carson Wentz actually having people out there say like Terry McLaurin is not that good. Well, he is that good. He is legitimately like he could be considered among the top five real life NFL receivers if he just had anybody else throwing him the ball. And at least Taylor Heinicke knows where his bread's buttered. And, you know, Dalton, I've said this. If I'm out there saying like, hey, you guys are kind of overdoing it with the Curtis Samuel thing, you know, you've reached a dangerous threshold. Cause I love Curtis Samuel, man. He's one of my longtime favorites, but they were just having those like easy buttons too present for Carson Wentz. And if you give Wentz the easy button, like he's going to take it, even if it's to the detriment of taking a shot play down the field. And Taylor Heinicke is not that guy for sure. So Terry McLaurin wheels up. I agree with you. I think he's right there around like, I don't know, wide receiver 12, 13, 14, something like that. Like I might rather have to lead into the next one here. And these two guys just played each other. I think I might rather have Terry McLaurin right now than Michael Pittman right now in fantasy rest of the season.
Yeah, it's a concern. They went so run heavy. I mean, Ellinger got 8.7 YPA and he drew a pass interference, but yeah, it's a problem with Pittman. I think he could be interesting fantasy just because of his legs, but maybe without if Taylor's injury would help Pittman and no Hines also. But absolutely, I ranked this week of McLaurin like 7 spots higher than Pittman. And moving forward, I would imagine it's something similar too.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Pittman's target share, he'd averaged like 22% with Matt Ryan. In week 8 with Sam Ellinger, 9 targets, that was a 39% target share. And he should have caught like the play on the final drive and would have had a bigger fantasy
day.
Right. He also got tackled at the 1 yard line. So my hope for Sam Ellinger, and you know, by the way, the stat that you brought to the table here came from Hayden Winks. They had a season low in neutral pass rate in the first game with Sam Ellinger, averaged 29 completions per game going into that. Last week they were at just 17, which is to be expected. But my hope for Pittman was like we were gonna get sort of like the Carson Wentz experience last year, which is like bad quarterback, like first read to take it to the number one receiver on every play. And that's pretty much what we got. The results just weren't quite there. Again, tackled at the 1 yard line, should have had a bigger catch here to end the game, but
yeah,
go for it.
Maybe I should treat him closely, more similarly moving forward. Cause you're right. Just cause the stats were maybe a bit misleading. And apparently Ellinger's ADOT was like, he's aggressive in the preseason and in college, which theoretically should help obviously Pierce too. But I think, you know, they were just running Pittman just these slants over and over, right? I feel like he can go downfield more, right? Yeah.
I agree. It's been really frustrating from that angle with Michael Pittman. Just so many crossing routes, which is great. He can do that, but I got to let him go on like 9 routes and win in contested situations down the field as well. Rams, you brought this one to the table. They're second to last in yards per play this year.
Yeah, I need to. I don't have the stats in front of me, but Stafford, dating back from midway last season, the numbers have not been good. And now you're dealing with Cup tissue swelling in his ankle. So ridiculous. The Shanahan had McCaffrey in the series earlier, too. He could have just as easily got injured. What are these coaches doing with their star players in a meaningless game? McVay called a run play the play before. Like he was giving up. The game was 100% over. It was literally the final play of the game. And Cup got rolled up on. I mean, it can say he feels, you know, he dodged a bullet, but he still has a sprained ankle with tissue swelling. You know, it's not ideal moving forward. And I had made the comment, we might see, but I'm like, this is going to be the worst offense in football if Cup suffers an injury. And well, he got hurt. I mean, man, it's the team cannot run no matter who plays running back. And now Cup's hurt. It's a problem.
Yeah, super big problem. Now they're like kind of trying to mend the fences with Cam Akers. I mean, I guess. I wouldn't be excited about any running back there. Like Kyron Williams still mildly interesting, but like now if they're going to bring Akers back into the mix and like Henderson will still be kicking around, you know, Ronnie Rivers, when he's not playing his Southern Rock band, will get in there in the mix as well. But yeah, Stafford is on pace for 17 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. Last year, he had 41 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. Like it just couldn't be a more drastic environment. Like, I will say this, though. Hey, I'll be excited if Cooper Kupp misses a game. Allen Robinson can get like 13 targets and might finally have a big
that
game.
That is true. Hopefully, I wrote Van Jefferson just $12 in our DFS game, too. I know you didn't, it was quiet this first week back, but if Kupp misses this, I'd have to get some targets. You know, it's easy to just write off, oh, they lost to Whitworth and some offensive line, but that's been part of the big differences here, too. Obviously, Beckham helped down the stretch, but this offensive line, and you look at the pressure rate for Stafford, it's just dramatically different than last season's run down the stretch.
I think it's all the offensive line, honestly. Like if this team was a more competent offensive line, like they could run the ball, you know, they could pass protect, like so many of their plays just get thrown right in the dirt because, you know, one of these guys on the edge or in the interior just gets beat right away and Stafford has to dirt the play or do the dump off to Tyler Higbee. And it's just, it's miserable, man. I mean, so yeah, nothing's going to be as good as we thought in LA because of this offensive line problem. Hopefully they can get it figured out in the offseason. Arizona Cardinals, Dalton, I wanted you to drop some of those DeAndre Hopkins stats you did in our video earlier.
Yeah, D-Hop, man, he's leading the league in catches and yards, second in target share since returning. He would lead the NFL in air yards per game, you know, if he'd been playing the whole season. The Cardinals are facing the Seahawks defense is playing much better recently, but man, D-Hop is just killing it without Marquise Brown. They moved him around the line of scrimmage, more so game one. He played out of the slot than he did last game. I believe it was more Rondell Moore, but it's encouraging to see him at least doing it a little bit because he was just stuck on one side the whole time last season. But whatever, he's back from his suspension. He wasn't returning from an injury, just killing the target share, killing the air yards. So even in a maybe tougher matchup with Seattle's secondary improving, I ranked him actually number one with all the buys in my receivers this week, Hopkins. I just love that volume. And that week, that game, I believe, is the highest or second highest total of the week, too.
Yeah, I love it. I love the way they moved him around a little bit more, although the more you get him in the slot, the less you get Rondo Moore, and Moore just can't like play on the perimeter, which we saw big game out of the slot last week. Next team up, we got a trade to talk about here. Chase Claypool for a second-round pick to the Chicago Bears, and it is the Bears' second-round pick, which will, you know, most likely be higher than the Ravens. We'll see, but this corresponds with Justin Fields like starting to show some life, man. He had never finished higher as a QB23 in weekly scoring in the first 4 weeks. Week 5, QB12, week 6, QB9, week 7, QB5, week 8, QB5. Like, he has certainly turned his season around, mostly because of the rushing, but now he gets himself a guy in Chase Claypool that I have, like, mixed feelings about, but certainly can step into a wide-open receiver depth chart there.
Yeah, Fields has been the QB6 over the last month. Even the passing's improved a little, running more play action. I kind of like Mooney as a sneaky DFS play this week. Oh, nice. Gets a pass funnel Miami defense. We'll see the weather there. I mean, Justin Fields, I'm going to treat as a top 10 fantasy QB moving forward. I think he's going to improve as a passer, and the rushing stats are there. So, yeah, I mean, we saw it dating back to that New England game when they had 10 days to prepare, and it's just, I was so impressed at Dallas, the pressure rate issues there. So I'm in on Justin Fields from a fantasy commodity moving forward. And another interesting note, the Bears defense ranks 30th in DVOA, all like DVOA week, on the road, and fifth at home. So big drastic difference, but they're trading away all their players. So I think there should be some points scored this week, barring weather. But it's worth noting just how much better this defense has performed at home. And this is an offense ascending. I think they're going to win this game. This is my favorite bet of the week, by the way. I like at home, home dog 5.5 against the, I mean, I like Tua and whatnot, but no, this Bears team is moving in the right direction.
I like that call, and I agree with you. They're moving in the right direction. Any thoughts on the Claypool trade? I mean,
yes, I totally ignored that. It was a nice move. Is he really younger than Velus Jones? I saw that tweet. Yes. Is that true? Okay, that is true.
Yeah, dude, yeah, there's a lot of dudes that are younger than Velus Jones.
Fair.
DK yeah. Metcalf is younger than Velus Jones, as Andy and I talked
really?
About
that's
on
funny.
Monday. Yeah.
Wow,
that's real.
Okay. That's funny. Yeah, no, I Claypool, great. Why not add a guy like compared to Megatron? Sure, for Fields, help him out. Absolutely. And
I mean,
and Mooney's seen all the target share, but this is still a run first offense. I'm not getting super excited for Claypool fantasy terms this year. I like the biggest thing for that trade for me is that helps Freiermuth and Pickens and Johnson in Pittsburgh. That really condenses those three. I like that because Najee Harris, you know, might be the new Trent Richardson.
Oof. Yeah, we'll get to that later. I don't know that. I don't know that Claypool's going to be a big fantasy factor this year, but like they're just making the bet that like let's get this guy in the building now rather than like draft a guy in the second round next year and, you know, let him start building some chemistry with each other. Totally. All right, next one up, Cleveland Browns. Your guy, Amari Cooper. The home road splits still remain absurd. He's not scored a touchdown on the road this season. Rich Rebar pointed out that on Monday night, that was career touchdown catch 34 in a home game versus 17 on the road. It's just an absurd split. There's not too much to say with the Browns, but just that split is crazy.
I mean, it is something to note in DFS. I mean, obviously you can't really do much on seasonal, but I mean, it is just wild. I mean, this year on the road, 7 catches, 14 targets, 100 scoreless yards. At home, all 5 of his touchdowns, he's averaging 91 yards and 32 catches. I mean, it's insane.
They're on a bye this week, but then they're in Miami the week after. They're in Buffalo in week 11. They get Tampa Bay at home. This one will be interesting. How drastic are the home road splits? week 13, they're in Houston. Now, I mean, they could just run the piss out of the ball with Nick Chubb, like, for, you know, 3 billion yards in that game. But still, that will be an interesting one to test the theory for sure. Next one up here, we got the Denver Broncos. Obviously, the Bradley Chubb trade was the big thing. But they get back Chase Edmonds in this one. Chase Edmonds, I don't know why he learned. Like they said after the game or after the trade, oh, we like him as a potential third down back. Chase Edmonds is like forgotten how to catch. He leads all running backs with a 33.3% drop rate this year, Dalton.
Yes, yeah, it's been bad. Broncos also, he joined a team that's second to last in EPA per rush. Only the Bucks have been worse this season. That's not a situation that I'm interested in fantasy, the Denver backfield. Obviously, situationally, you may need to use one. Murray will get some goal line scores here and there, but that's a rough one for fantasy.
Very rough. Green Bay Packers, next one up here. Dalton, hit me with some of those Aaron Jones stats you had on the video we did earlier, because I need to hear them again because I have so much Aaron Jones.
Man, yeah, coming off a season high in carries and rush yards against a Buffalo defense that entered allowing just 3.5 yards per carry. They were number one in run defense DVOA. Jones forced a career high 13 missed tackles against them. Leads the NFL in avoided tackle rate. He's your guy, man, and he's really set up for a nice game this week, facing a much different Lions defense than last week. Lions have allowed the third most fantasy points to running backs. They've also sported one of the league's highest run rates against them the last month. They've averaged easily the most combined points during their games this season, the Lions. So it's a great matchup for Aaron Jones I think he could finish as the top fantasy back this week.
I mean, I would absolutely love that. That would be a good week for me in fantasy. New Orleans Saints. Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara have a 46.3% combined target share since week 5. This is why we want Andy Dalton, man, because Chris Olave is a wide receiver one and Alvin Kamara is a running back one with Andy Dalton behind center.
Yeah, Kamara is getting his career high in targets per quarterbacks, 7.1 targets per game with Drew Brees. He's seen 8.8 with Andy Dalton, courtesy Graham Barfield tweet. Pretty remarkable. Winston was down to 5.4, so man, you love all this, all the targets, and you love to see the touchdown regression hit all at once last week for him, scoring 3 times.
Yeah, love to see that. All right, Tampa Bay. Another DVOA pop from Aaron Schatz that you brought to the table here, Dalton. Opposite of the Seahawks defense, pretty much, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Weeks 1 through 5, they're first in defensive DVOA. Weeks 6 through 8, they're 29th. This is definitely a team that we can target right now, as there's a lot of injuries in the secondary and, of course, in the pass rush department with Shaq Barrett.
Yeah, too bad I don't think the Rams can do much this week. But, yeah, something to note. It's not just the Bucs offense troubling with Brady. It's also a defense that's totally crumbling after a really hot start. Ton of secondary injuries in the secondary, as you mentioned. So, yeah, that's absolutely something to note when you're looking at future matchups.
Devin White, too, man. I mean, he's playing really poorly. Their linebacker who, had a great Super Bowl run, but has played really poorly this year for sure. Las Vegas Raiders. This is where I remind you that things like yards per target and yards per route run can be a not individual wide receiver stat, but an environment stat, a usage stat, and a who he was playing around you, and, of course, a quarterback stat as well. Davante Adams, 34th this year in yards per target, 19th in yards per route run.
Yeah, after that week 1, too, it was like, I ranked him too low. Looks like he's going to be a fantasy monster in his new environment, but just hasn't been there. Kind of gave him a pass last week, dealing with an illness all week. A lot of the Raiders were sick and missing practice. But, yeah, it's been ugly. I mean, that wasn't just a bad game. I mean, it was a goose egg or a near one. So, yeah, really bad. Yeah, frustrating.
Yeah, so just a reminder, those stats don't just, they're not wide receiver stats, but that's another thing. Carolina. P.J. Walker ranks 13th in EPA per dropback these last 2 weeks. He's averaging 11.1 air yards per attempt. That's third highest among quarterbacks. P.J. Walker hasn't just been like, okay, he's getting the ball to DJ Moore. That's what matters. Like, he's been flinging that thing downfield, and he's been playing pretty well. I hope we keep seeing P.J. Walker the rest of the year, because he's exciting for fantasy, and he is certainly could be a longtime backup in the NFL.
Yeah, if you look at the accurate rate to catchable balls for DJ Moore, they've been way up with Walker. He's impressed. I'd really like to see that a rematch of the Rams game from 2 weeks ago with their offense ready now, because Carolina wasn't ready. I'd like to see. I think that'd be like a pick 'em, especially with Kupp out, even in LA. I think this Carolina team's feisty for sure and really interesting. And Walker should get the chance to start over the rest of the year.
Totally agree. Jacksonville Jaguars, they make a trade at the deadline. It doesn't matter for this year, but they are trading for Calvin Ridley. And, you know, there's a lot of conditions on the picks they've given back, and including like if he signs a contract with this team, it becomes a second round pick. But of course, he has to get back. He has to play well. He has to be reinstated. He's not going to play the rest of the season because he's suspended. The earliest he can apply for reinstatement is February 15th, I believe. But I want to remind people, you know, reception perception stat here. Calvin Ridley, 2018 to 2020, never ranked below the 89th percentile in success rate versus man coverage or the 81st percentile in success rate versus press. And my God, Dalton, like, what does Trevor Lawrence need? I know Trevor Lawrence obviously hasn't been perfect, but I think he's been an average, you know, functional quarterback. I don't think he looks like a bust out there, but there's certainly holes in his game. But my God, the one thing he needs is a dude that can play on the outside and can get separation. Like, if you, I don't want to be seeing Marvin Jones and Zay Jones as your outside receivers anymore. So Calvin Ridley, it doesn't matter for this year, but love this gamble by the Jacksonville Jaguars because this is exactly the type of guy they need.
I'm not sure if he's intentionally being funny or not, but Doug Peterson said he's betting on the future, bringing in Ridley. So you love
if anybody would do it, it's Doug. It's definitely Doug. If anybody would do it.
I respect that for sure. And I respect the move as well. Great addition here. Lawrence, as we noted earlier, what second worst and off target percentage on deep throws. Ridley should help there. Let's move, you know, Kirk with the slot guy. That's where he belongs. Just quickly on Jacksonville, Etienne is the guy, the complete guy taking over that backfield and has to be treated as a borderline top five fantasy back weekly moving forward. Bar, you know, given the matchup, he's top five or top 10, whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like next year, Jaguars could come in and, you know, they got Etienne established as an RB1. They get Calvin Ridley back. They have Christian Kirk is a really good slot receiver. They get like a young ball winning X receiver out on the outside there. Now we're really cooking here with the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. And, you know, Andy Barron's favorite player, Evan Engram, at the tight end position. The Steelers, we've teased them, I think, 500 times on the podcast so far. We know, we talked about earlier, they trade away Chase Claypool. They trade for William Jackson in kind of a 2025 pick swap because Washington was pretty much going to get rid of him. My stat that I had here was that George Pickens and Deontay Johnson are both top 10 in unrealized air yards. You brought a Scott Barrett stat that I saw as well. Steelers wide receivers passer rating when targeted. George Pickens, 97.4. That's 28th out of 69. Nice qualifiers. Chase Claypool is 64th out of 69. And Deontay Johnson dead last, 39.2. Passer rating when targeted. That is 69 out of 69 qualifiers.
Yeah, like I said, incomplete pass is somewhere around that percentage of Deontay
Johnson. It's 39.5, I think,
okay,
right?
Wow. Yeah, so it's even better than that. I mean, that's just crazy. So, yeah, I wanted to really leave the floor to you. I hear P&L try to bait you in, calling Deontay Johnson the most overrated receiver. I know you love his route running ability. And like I said, this 538 thing that came out totally sides with you. And it claims that he's wide open and it's all a function of horrible quarterback play, which, by the way, is not going to change tomorrow. It certainly helps that Claypool's gone, but Deontay Johnson's issue has not been targets. It's been the accuracy of those targets, and that's going to remain an issue. But I would just wanted to hear your thoughts on him with those stats. It's pretty remarkable that he's dead last.
Yeah, it's rough. He's like dead last in yards per target too, and he only has a 6.5 drop rate this year. Like it's not the years before he had like 15, that crazy drop season. I think that was 2020, right? Kind of cleaned it up last year. Still some big moments. He's like a mistake prone player for sure. He does make some whiffs, but it's the offense, man. Like Kenny Pickett, I don't think has been good, period. I think Kenny Pickett's been a problem. I think obviously Mitch Trubisky was a problem, but it's the offense, man. This offense would be, I think it'd be great if we were playing in 2015 because all they run, Dalton, is like man beating concepts. They run slants, they run drags, they run go routes. Like that's it. And like all of that is to beat man coverage. And Dalton, nobody freaking plays man coverage anymore. I mean, everybody's like lower than 30%. Everybody is like 60 plus percent zone coverage. I mean, there's a few outliers, but for the most part, especially on early downs, everybody's a zone heavy team at this point. You know, cover two, cover three, stuff like that. And all of their stuff is designed to beat those man coverage holes. They do nothing like to take advantage, like in the seam routes. They do nothing to like, they never run like digs, any stuff like that. That's why these yards per target stats are low for all of these guys. I mean, George Pickens has gotten some vertical looks. He's gotten like some more touchdown stuff like that. That's why his look a little bit better, like the passer rating, but it's the design of the offense, man. It's the same reason that we've got the same issues from last year, even though Big Ben's out of there, like Matt Canada is a problem. He's running like a high school offense at the NFL level. He's like a failed college offensive coordinator. What the hell is Matt Canada doing coaching an NFL offense? It's unbelievable. And you know, both these guys, Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, are top five in go routes this year as well. And that's another part of it too. It's like, great, you've got inefficient routes, an inefficient quarterback in a bad offense. Yeah, that's why the yards per target stats are going to be low. Like, these are all not receiver reasons. And I'm not totally excusing Deontay Johnson, who's a great route runner. He is always open, and he runs a ton of go routes too. He gets open on these things, but low percentage throws for a guy in Kenny Pickett, who is certainly not like he's not Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have like an overwhelming arm. He's got to be like a timing rhythm guy, but he doesn't play with much timing and rhythm and process. So a lot of problems in Pittsburgh that it's like, great, the target share opens up a little bit with Chase Claypool gone. Target share really wasn't the problem there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Matt Canada is definitely an issue. And I sent you a graph comparing the career arc of Najee Harris with Trent Richardson, and it's pretty similar. It's not encouraging. Maybe Harris is just playing through that foot injury, and that's been the issue, and he'll return looking different next year, but it's been discouraging this year.
I mean, you have to hope so. You have to hope so, because it's really bad. But yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of receiver film, Dalton. I'm telling you, this is the most frustrating offense by a lot, okay. because of the way it's designed. It's like, what you take Justin Jefferson and you put him in this offense, it's going to be bad. Like, I don't know that anybody can overcome bad quarterback and poorly designed offense. If 2015, this offense would be great. It ain't 2015 anymore. It's 2021. All right. Houston Texans. Let me cleanse myself for a second. We'll get to them because we have a Thursday night game here. Detroit Lions, last team up, the worst team in the league. Of course, we know TJ Hockenson trade. Stat here is Amon-Ra St. Brown, 31.6% targets per route run. That's still third best in the NFL, Dalton. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown back to the moon with no TJ Hockenson and hopefully healthier, and the volume is still there.
Yeah, the Lions are scoring 3.3 more touchdowns at home per game this season. They're due for some passing scores, too. Jamal Williams keeps stealing them all. If ARSB is healthy, which it seems like he is, he could really eat from here moving forward with no Hawk and a banged up Swift, as you said, big time, man. I ranked him so aggressive. I think he's my fifth wide receiver this week.
Yep, I agree. I think I'm going to have him as a top five receiver on the board as well. All right, Thursday night football. We got our two teams. Ironically, like, we have one from the bottom, one all the way at the top. I mean, this is a real big mismatch here. Eagles minus 14 at the Houston Texans. Brandon Cooks was not traded at the deadline, Dalton, although he did have a cryptic tweet right at the deadline. Did you see that?
Yes, yeah, he's not happy. Yeah.
Yeah, clearly not happy there, which is a little weird. Like, I mean, what did you think you were getting into when you signed with you re-signed with the Texans? I mean, I don't know. Brandon Cooks, though, without Nico Collins last week and amid trade speculation, I think Nico Collins probably misses this game here. 83% routes per dropback and a 44% share of the air yards. That's great because the air yards were really going towards Nico Collins' way. So the problem here, though, and this is my Eagles stat, the Eagles are first in yards per play in the passing game on offense. They allow the second lowest yards per attempt on defense there. So, man, I guess Cooks is like in starting consideration, but I don't feel good about almost anybody on Houston here, Dalton.
Yeah, Mills plays better at home, but Cooks makes sure he's even gonna play this game. He would have tied Eric Dickerson for the most traded player, I believe, in NFL history if he was moved, but yeah, not happy there. Look for Damian Pierce to bounce back. He was just had to face that tough Titans defense, and the Eagles, for what it's worth, I think it's the second most EPA per rush they've allowed. I don't know how that translates for fantasy value, but I do think Pierce bounced back.
Jordan Davis also going to miss this game too. They've already ruled him out.
Despite big, you know, two touchdown underdogs, I do think the running back can still provide decent fantasy value here with Pierce, who's so good and continues to be more involved as a receiver. But yeah, the Eagles are just so good, and they get out to these big leads. It'll be interesting to see if the team eventually pushes them for four quarters, but they have quite a matchup here against a Houston defense that's allowed the week's overall PPR RB 1 or 2 in 5 of 7 games this year. That's a stat from Ian Harditz. Pretty wild.
So Miles Sanders, this is a big week for him. Probably pretty much a big week for everybody. And the Eagles are beautiful, man, because they're so highly concentrated. you play AJ Brown, you play Dallas Goedert, you play Devonta Smith, you play Miles Sanders, you play Jalen Hurts, and that's it. Like, the ball pretty much doesn't go anywhere else. And with Houston, you play Dameon Pierce, maybe Brandon Cooks, and that's kind of it. Like, this is a very easy game to preview because it's very straightforward. One good team where we know the ball's going, one bad team where we just probably don't want to mess around with.
You can't use any of Houston's tight ends. They split so much work. I like Dorsett as a sleeper last week. That was without Cook. So if Cooks plays, you can't use them. So, yep, we're in agreement here. And I have Sanders as my RB7 this week. So you just love this matchup.
Yeah, I'm definitely like still going to stash Nico Collins because I think he can be a big-time player for them down the stretch, but probably not going to play in this game. So that is going to do it for us, Dalton. You can follow Dalton on Twitter at Dalton Del Don if you don't already. If you can follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. And while you're there, make yourself a better fantasy player and improve your timeline by following at Yahoo Fantasy. You will not regret it. If you like the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review on whichever podcast platform you're listening on. Since the show is free, it's a great way to support us. Dalton, you're going to be back tomorrow on the debut of Marvin Eloquin on the podcast, man. How excited are you to talk to me 2 days in a row?
I'm pumped up, man. Looking forward to it big time.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, until then, we are out.